This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with a very fiery Macca this morning and myself, Tass. Good morning.
Good morning, Tass. Now, we did try to get Rupert Murdoch, but he couldn't land in Canberra because there was too much fog, because all the lefties were making fog to stop him landing. He did land in Sydney, clutching a copy of the Fin Review and the Sydney Morning Herald on the tarmac at the private
jet. Who have we got instead,
Matt? We have another media magnate. We have...
Magnate.
Actually, magnate. Gina Reinhart would like to mind that, wouldn't she? No. Anyway, Misha Ketchell from The Conversation. Good morning, Misha. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Do you like being called a magnate?
I do. I was actually just smiling to myself. I wish I had some of the dollars that come with being a magnate.
Well, I think the important thing is that the amount, you know, the number of people that read The Conversation and how The Conversation operates and how it's funded, I think is really important. And one of the things we wanted to talk about is the cartoon, but I wanted to start off, if I could, as the editor and as a journalist of many years standing, I'd like to, for you to explain to us, as an editor, what free speech means, and as a journalist, because, you know, they are different, what free speech means, but your obligations as an editor in ensuring, you know, what you guys publish is within the law, but that it meets the standards that you set down. And how does that then conflict, or how does it nicely fit in with free speech? Sorry, it's a long question.
Okay, no, it's a good question. I think there's a really clear distinction between your right to say something, to express a particular view, which in many ways, you know, is unencumbered, and your right to a media platform, your right to have those views disseminated, distributed, widely shared. If, as somebody who is an editor, either be that at a TV network or at a newspaper or at any other media outlet, you've got a responsibility, because when you put somebody on air, you are amplifying their views. You are giving them a platform, and you're giving that view, just by implication, by putting it on air, an element of credibility. And you're sort of making a judgment call that that view should be shared, and it's in the public interest to share that view. Now, if the view is a particularly offensive or destructive social view, there are arguments at times that there might be necessary to do that if it's reflecting a legitimate debate in society. But what you would want to do then is do that in a context where you interrogate the view, you explain the flaws of it, you express the right level of criticism. I think where Sky News got into trouble this week with the Blair Cottrell interview wasn't just that they put on a racist, you know, pro-violent Nazi sympathiser.
A criminal.
But it was, they did it, a criminal, no less, but they did it in a context where they were sort of like, you know, mate, and, you know, yeah, you know, all the lefties are going to disagree with you. It was a very sympathetic. It was putting that view up as something which is not only part of legitimate public debate, but something which you should sort of be pretty sympathetic to.
So Misha, what's your view about what the Victorian government did? You know, they've essentially just marched in and removed Sky News from all public transport. What's your view about that?
Well, I think it's a little bit messy. It's been compromised by the fact that it looks as though, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but the reporting I've read, it looks as though Jacinta Allen got some facts wrong in that the actual material wasn't broadcast. The Cottrell interview wasn't broadcast at the train stations, and what was being broadcast was somewhat different to you know, that material. It's worth noting that Sky News is notorious for having a split personality, for doing pretty straight news during the day. And I read this great line by Margaret Simon, the media commentator this week, who said, when the sun goes down at Sky, strange things come out to play, which really is sort of talking to the fact that at night, You get a lot of sort of the reactionary shock jocks. You know, you get your Andrew Bolt, you get your people who were sort of trying to, you know, whip up division and, you know, fear and anger and that sort of emotional response. And as I understand it, and I'm not 100% sure on the facts on this, I'm just reading the reports, but the Cottrell interview wasn't broadcast, and what was being broadcast at the train station was more in the line of the fairly straight reporting aspect of what Sky does.
Because at 5 o'clock, Misha, Sky News turns right.
That's right. Yeah, it also turns a little bit sort of, you know, drinking blood crazy, I think.
Yeah, but so,
I mean, there's a question there. I mean, if what was being removed wasn't the problem, then that sort of weakens the argument. I mean, overall, I would say as the minister responsible, Jacinta Allan is entirely right to make a judgment about what commuters are subjected to and what she thinks appropriate to have in the public sphere and in that public space. And if it was clear that Cottrell interview was on Sky News and was being broadcast in the train station, I would have no problem with that.
I mean, the other thing is, I don't know whether you heard earlier, Misha, but I was talking a little bit about Sky's numbers. And they actually issued a press release back in June, and I actually didn't realise they had a comedy show. But Sky News delivers record-breaking audiences. Weeknight prime time up 25%, Sunday evenings up 42%, and you go, oh wow! When you actually look at the numbers, and bear in mind, Foxtel has 2.8 million subscribers. Peter Credlin. She has a weekly audience of 208,000. The Bolt Report has a weekly reach of 239,000. Now, when it was on Channel 10, of course, it was only watched by his mum and Gina Reinhart. Paul Murray Live has 268,000 a week. We're actually talking, you know, rounding errors. You know, 98% or 99%. Of people on Sky News, or let's be generous, 95%, don't watch these programs. So the whole thing with Sky is that the deal that they've done with Win TV is to put their content out there regionally for free. Of course, the old argument is something you can't sell, you give it away. What they're about is numbers. But we need to have this in perspective, that the numbers for the Blair Cottrell interview, you're probably lucky if 20,000 people were watching. When it actually aired, as opposed to now, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people know about it. Of course, Sky has taken it down, but it's available on the web. If you were the minister, and that's a big ask, what would you have done about this with Sky News? Would you have taken it down? Would you have replaced it with something else and not said anything?
Or just gotten your facts right.
Or got your facts right. Good question, Tess.
Yes. Oh, God, there's lots of questions there. I think the first thing I'd say is it's really important to understand that Sky News does have a relatively small audience. To some extent, that's why it can go so far right, because when you've got one listener or one viewer, if you get an extra one, that's 100% increase, so it sounds like a lot. And number two, you don't need to play to the middle, the sensible centre of society, as some people might call it. You're trying to build off a low base, so you can actually go out and get people who potentially aren't catered for elsewhere, even if their numbers are small, because you can get big gains from small numbers. And that seems to be what the Sky strategy is. Would that work on, you know, say a free-to-air broadcast TV network? No, people wouldn't wear it. They wouldn't accept it. And nor should they, for that matter. It's only working because they are actually, currently sort of a cable network, and they can actually target a small audience. I think the amplification of that voice by Win is very concerning. It's probably a product of the cash-strapped situation of media companies more generally. And the idea of taking these more extreme voices out to a wider audience is worrying. I'd put it in the context, really, of the broader, bigger issue, which is was really well identified by Tim Soutphommasane, our outgoing Race Discrimination Commissioner,
who
made a speech this week where he talked about the media monetizing racism. And basically he said that media outlets with declining audiences under commercial pressure are actually seeing that one way forward is to project more racist and offensive views that will whip up controversy and bring them attention and audiences. And you can really see that this is what's happening with...
Well, you only need to look at today's daily papers, Misha. The front page of the Herald Sun talks about the violent activity that took place in the southeast, in the last couple of days. And it actually racially profiles the people as being Asian, Middle Eastern, African, whereas The Age does the same story, also on the front page. No racial profiling whatsoever. So there's something going on here. You're quite right.
And don't forget, sorry, Tass and Misha, our community, the LGBTI community, we have been on the receiving end of this dog whistling and these cartoons, particularly from News Corp. So, Misha, in terms of, just to go back, if I may, to the discussion about free speech... Do you ultimately, if I might ask this, so if I'm a journalist for The Conversation, can I post an article onto the website without you seeing it, or does it have to be run by you or someone else first before it goes up?
It's got to be run by somebody. Not me personally, but there's a team of 25 editors, and everything is signed off by at least two editors.
Okay, so this is different to, and I know some folk at Sky News, and they told me during the week, that the likes of Alan Jones, Rowan Dean, Andrew Bolt, all these personalities, that there is actually no editorial control over what they talk about. Now, some would argue they're opinion shows, so okay, but that there is no control over what they talk about. I find that quite disturbing.
I think that's very problematic because, irrespective of, what you think about free speech, when you are a publisher, when you put something out there to a mass audience, you have a moral and a legal responsibility for that. You are the disseminator of that. You're subject to defamation law. You're subject to all the other laws of the land, anti-discrimination law. And you can't exercise or discharge that responsibility appropriately if you're not looking at the material. It's just not... I mean, it's negligent. In my view, it's purely and simply negligence. The world's moved to a point where we tend to accept this more, really, because of digital publishing and, things like Facebook and social media and Twitter. And we're now more used to forums where people have access that isn't mediated by gatekeepers. And journalists as gatekeepers, we know, have often done things very badly. I mean, for many years, the voices of people that should be heard in public debate haven't been heard. Including the LGBTI community. So in many ways, things like the internet have been very helpful, but there still, in my view, needs to be a cop on the beat. There still needs to be a gatekeeper saying, is this appropriate for public discussion? Is this going to hurt people? Is it, racist, sexist, homophobic? Is it dangerous? Is it an incitement to crime? These questions need to be asked.
Mm-hmm. We had a message from a listener, Tass.
Yes,
we've had a couple, actually.
Quite a few.
We get a lot of questions. People want to know what Tim Wilson would think. You can work it out, usually. What do you think Tim Wilson would think, Misha, of Blair Cottrell being on Sky? Is that free speech?
Oh, God, it's very, very hard to guess what would be in the mind of somebody else. And, people always surprise you. I think that, Tim would potentially argue for it on the grounds of free speech, and he might argue that there are some of these views, putting them out into the sunlight of public scrutiny, is the best way to deal with them. That there's sort of a cathartic advantage in that if you put out a really offensive racist view, everybody can talk about it and shout it down, and it sort of stops it bubbling away on the sidelines. My own view of that is that argument would be fine if what the interview on Sky News did was actually subject Blair Cottrell to the appropriate journalistic questioning and criticism, but it didn't, and that's the problem.
It's like that saying, it puts it out there for everyone to see it and criticise it. Well, I might as well just stab myself in the eye so I know what it feels like. I mean,
Yes.
Look, the problem is that so much of this content, does it influence what I think? Does it influence my views? No, it makes me more resolute. I'm sure it's probably the same for yourself and for Tass and for a whole lot of our listeners. But there are people out there that when they see someone like Blair Cottrell on there, absolutely ranting and raving and talking, you know, if he said some of that stuff in Germany, he'd be arrested. He would actually be arrested. And certainly the use of some of the symbols he's used, he would be arrested. But it gives it a validity that it doesn't deserve. And that's what troubles me, because it then takes on a life of its own. I did say earlier, Misha, that if I was the minister, I simply would have taken Sky News off. I would have replaced it with ABC 24 or something else, and I wouldn't have said anything. Because eventually Sky News would say, well, hang on, why have we been taken off? Or, you know, Andrew Bolt's mother would ring up and say, you know, why have you taken, you know, off? So, well, actually, we think the content's inappropriate and we've replaced it with ABC 24. I think she made a mistake. I think she was badly advised, Tess.
Perhaps. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, I'm interested in what your reaction to, Misha, to the front page of yesterday's Herald Sun was, and also to the cartoon that was published in The Australian by Mark Knight, which I think you might have seen. What's your reaction?
I've seen the Mark Knight cartoon. Was Mark Knight cartoon? He normally cartoons in the Herald Sun. Was that Herald Sun or The Australian?
Yeah, Herald Sun.
Yeah, I was the Herald Sun. I apologise.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see yesterday's Herald Sun. I was in Sydney, so I haven't seen the front page that you're referring to. But I can talk about the Mark Knight cartoon. But before I do, I just wanted to pick up on another thing that you were sort of saying about, you know, what Sky News putting this sort of material in there does. The thing about it that concerns me is that Sky News is wholly owned by News, I think it's called News Corporation now, I always forget if it's News Limited or News Corporation, but which owns 70% of the newspapers in this country. So you're looking at a hugely powerful media organisation that is signalling to Australians that this sort of racism
is okay.
It's a legitimate part of public debate. And you've got, you know, Tim Soot Pomasan, who's our racial discrimination commissioner, who is saying basically that Australia has become a more overtly racist country in his time in that role. He can see the media aiding and abetting and fueling this. So we've got a media failure, and quite a significant, serious, in some ways quite chilling one. And if you've got, you know, Sky News sort of at one end of the spectrum at night with its sort of loony racist coming out, and you say, well, it's more sober in the day, and there are more sober, you know, parts of the News Corp enterprise in its newspapers, but there's still overall across the whole thing an increasingly concerning, in my view, racist tone. And that sort of, you know, I mean, that cartoon, that Mark Knight cartoon from today,
it exactly does
have
that.
Have you described it on air yet, people?
Yes, we have, and often, which we did with some of the Bill Leak cartoons, we posted them. I'm actually not going to post it on our Twitter because I don't think it deserves a greater audience.
We don't want to reinforce those messages.
That cartoon would have been the cartoons at the Herald Sun, as at the Australian, are signed off by the editor. They're not just they don't just appear in the paper without anyone knowing what's in them. It's interesting that you know what you say, that these elements, and yes, there are more mainstream elements of News Corp papers, although none spring to mind, and you know with Foxtel and Sky News, but the reality is this stuff doesn't happen by accident. Sky News acknowledged subsequently, I think a piece by Brodie Harper in The Age, that Sky News knew Blair Cottrell would be coming on and approved it. Initially, they said, oh, well, you know, it sort of happened. We didn't know, you know, he just sort of, I don't know, they opened the door of the studio and he was there or something. But they knew the reaction it would get. Channel 7, when they had him on, didn't say, this guy is a convicted criminal, this guy has a criminal record, this guy this. You know, they described him as a, you know, a person, you know, trying to get a a neighbourhood watch group together in his local community. I mean,
yeah.
What do you say to this? Yeah. I mean, we know it's.
I mean, what I say is it's cynical journalism is entertainment. I mean, basically what's happened here is you can see that, you know, this is something that media organisations know to an extent is going to drive audiences. As Tim Parmesan said, it's the monetization of racism. And if you look at that cartoon, that Mark Knight cartoon, and, you know, just for everybody who's tuning in, it's basically a cartoon of Jacinta Allen standing at a train station with a remote control, you know, sort of saying, you know, I've solved the, you know, I've solved the problem, you know, which is a reference to the to her, you know, turning off Sky News. And then in the background, you've got a depiction of these people who are drawn to look like African, young African people sort of rioting in the train station. Now, this African gangs sort of meme, you know, for want of a better word, I mean, it's been going on for forever. When I worked at Media Watch in 2007, I did a story. I remember it very well, about every news station in Victoria, Channel 7, 9 and 10, led with this story of video footage from a bottle shop of, you know, African youths allegedly, you know, committing crimes. Now, we pulled that story apart and showed that there wasn't a single African who had actually committed a crime in that footage. But because there were black people in that footage, all of the media jumped on it because they all wanted to believe it and they all knew it would rate. And then I think that same year, this is more than 10 years ago, don't think it. So this stuff just comes up all the time. I did another story about the Sunday Herald Sun going through the crime stats and saying that African youths, I think it was Sudanese youths, were misrepresented, you know, overrepresented in the crime stats. And again, we debunked it at the time, you know, the information was being misused and it was wrong. Now, we've had the same thing again earlier this year with Dutton saying that people are afraid to go out to restaurants. And whipping up that fear. And that was a fear that, you know, we all knew was coming because the federal government was talking more than 2 years ago about the fact that it was going to try to sort of manipulate this for political gain. I actually wrote a piece in Sydney Morning Herald about it because I was so appalled to listen to a minister talking about the fact that they were going to raise this as an issue. I just think it's a terrible failure of leadership.
Oh, scandalous.
Yet we know that the crime stats, and if you look at the crime stats, for example, for Sudanese people in Victoria, I think they're around about, and just going from memory, about 0.5% of the population, and they account for 1.5% of the crime. So you could say, okay, well, that's, you know, three times their, you know, proportion of the population, they're overrepresented. But the minute you factor in the fact that those people actually skew much younger than the rest of the community, and that young people disproportionately commit crimes, it actually doesn't tell you very much about race or ethnicity at all. And the second thing is, if you're going to go around looking for groups that are overrepresented, and I use sort of, you know, air quotes around that in crime stats, New Zealanders and Anglo-Australians are overrepresented, you know, when you look at their proportion as a group in the community. So this whole sort of whipping up fear about particular groups being responsible for crime is something which media outlets do, have done time and time again, and are doing increasingly more and more because they know it rates, they know it will attract attention, they know it will help their businesses. But in actual fact, it's damaging to the community, it's damaging to social cohesion, it's against the public interest, and it's wrong. It's just not true. Mm. We're being lied to by exactly the people that shouldn't be lying to it.
It is disturbing, Misha. We've run out of time, unfortunately. We look forward to having you in the studio again. Quick question. The Great Barrier Reef Foundation, there's an interesting story with, we're only into the first chapter of it, the involvement of all sorts of people in how this grant happened and donations and stuff. I know you guys are looking at it. Look forward to an update on that at a future time.
Okay, it's a long and complex one.
It is.
Hopefully, at some point, we'll find a bit more detail.
Yes.
Good on you.
We might find a bit of smoking coral. Who knows? You are on Saturday Magazine. That was Misha Ketchell, editor of The Conversation.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.